Well, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 138. This morning is a sermonette. That's what they call it, because we want to do testimonies. It's been a month since I've preached before you, or to you, at you, depending on your perspective. So I guess the tradition of this church is to let me have a bit of a warm-up before a full-blown sermon. And Psalm 138 is a psalm that I had been meditating on when I think about being thankful. And I just want you to turn there. We're going to read it in a few minutes, and you can look at it if you'd like. But really, the question when it comes to Thanksgiving is, are you thankful? Are you thankful? And just ask yourself that question, are you thankful? And we have lots of things to be thankful for, and it's really easy for us to kind of nod our heads up and down and say, oh yes, I'm thankful, and I'm certainly looking forward to hearing some of the testimonies that you have. But let me just press on that question a little bit. Ephesians 5:20 says, commands us really, always give thanks for everything to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that describe you? Are you a person who is always giving thanks to God in all circumstances or for everything in the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in some circumstances. Some of you have been reading your Bibles. Give thanks in what? All circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances? Surely that can't be what God means. All circumstances. But it is, right? So in pressing a little further, I could ask you, and you could ask yourself, and I've asked myself this question and was as convicted as you're about to be, are you thankful in all circumstances? Now, my intent in asking that question and in pointing you to those passages, it's not to try to make you feel guilty for not being thankful enough. But what I want to do this morning in the few short minutes that I have is broaden your capacity for thankfulness. You see, the reason thankfulness is hard for us is because of sin. And I'm not just talking about the sin that dwells in our own hearts. I mean the sin that has corrupted the world that we live in. I mean, everywhere you look, there is brokenness and there is hardship, right? Everywhere. I mean, as good Americans, we're able to shield ourselves from a lot of that, but even in societies and cultures that are able to shield it, it is still very, very prominent. And it's amazing the relational discord and deterioration that exists in affluent neighborhoods. People where their yards are kept perfect, and they've got fences, and they've got brand new cars every year, and they've got, you know, homes that are worth near $1 million and all of that. And yet, you're supposed to be protected from sin as a result of all that. But they're not, are they? That's what sin has done. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are many good things that we can enjoy in this world. And there are many things that we should be thankful for. But if we are to obey the command to give thanks for everything in Christ Jesus, or to give thanks in all circumstances, if we're going to do that faithfully, then our hearts and minds must be trained to look beyond the things that we enjoy in this world and to set our minds on God. It's very simple logic. If all you have to be thankful for is in this world, then you cannot and will not be thankful in all circumstances. It's impossible. That's why God has given us something better than the fleeting comfort and enjoyment of this world. God has given us Himself. That's right. And what a blessing. God has given us Himself. much better. God created the world, and we get God through Christ. And God presents himself to us as the eternal and all-powerful God who delights in mercy and righteousness. Not only is God perfectly good, he promises us that his good purposes for us will be accomplished. It is in that God that we fix our hope. And it is that God that commands us to be thankful in all circumstances. You see, God would not command us to be thankful in all circumstances if there was not a good reason for us to be thankful in all circumstances. And there is a good reason for us to be thankful in all circumstances. And if you need a reason to be thankful in the midst of the worst of circumstances, you will not find it in the hope of immediate relief. You will not find it in a hope for something better in this life. You will find it in the wise and sovereign purposes of God to which you are to yield. That is where true thankfulness and joy lies. And that's what David does in this psalm, in Psalm 138. He praises God with his whole heart because he recognizes that not only will God's good purposes stand, but also he knows God's steadfast love and faithfulness is fixed on David. And he understands that. David knows that in the midst of the worst of circumstances, God has set his love on him, and it's going to go well for him. He knows that. And that's why he says that over and over again in so many psalms. You know, it's one thing to marvel at the power and wisdom of God. It's one thing to think about all that God is and the power of this creation and this world and all of these different things about God's majesty and strength and perfection. It's one thing to marvel at that. And it's another thing altogether to have that God say to you, "My purpose for you will stand. I have fixed my love on you through Christ. You have nothing to fear." That's what God says to his children. And this is God's message to us who are trusting in Christ for salvation. And I loathe the people that come to churches and come to evangelists and they're hoping that Christ will fix their life now. But that's not the hope. That may be the result of some things that God shows you in his word, but the hope is God himself. Not a better life in the 70 or 80 years we're going to spend here, or 90, or 100. God wins. That's our hope. Not that, you know, we'll figure something out. Not that God's going to give us what we want or make us comfortable. The hope is that God wins. And I'll tell you something. If God winning is not your hope, then what is your hope? David understood that, and he trusted in his promises. And that's how he thanks God with his whole heart. So let's read Psalm 138 together, if you're there. And as I read this psalm, I want you to notice a few things about it. I want you to notice four things. The first thing I want you to notice is specifically what David thanks God for. Now, the word "for," you could also put in "because," and you'll see that. I thank you because of this. I thank you for this. Notice what it is that David thanks God for. And also, notice the trajectory of the nations. David talks a little bit about the world and about the nations who are constantly opposed to God. But he thanks God for the trajectory of the nations. Thirdly, I want you to notice the comfort and security that David has in God. And finally, notice the connection that David sees between his life and God's own purposes. So let me pray. I'm going to read the psalm and then say a few more things and we'll do testimonies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you that our hope is not just in this world. God, thank you that our hope truly is fixed in Christ. And yes, I confess, as I know every person here can confess, that sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get sidetracked, and we begin to set our minds on a hope of some sort of comfort or some sort of increasement and enjoyment in this world, Lord. And quite often, you give us that, Lord, and we praise you for the times that you do give us comfort and solace. But I pray, Father, that that would never supersede the true hope we have in Christ. I pray that you would help me now as we read the psalm and discuss these things, Lord. May our capacity for thankfulness be increased as we learn to look beyond this world for joy and for comfort. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, David says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. He thanks God with his whole heart. Before any other gods, he sings God's praise. He doesn't just say, oh, by the way, I thank you, God, for this. This is pretty dramatic. This is pretty formal. With my whole heart, before the gods I sing your praise, I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name. And here's the reason why. For your steadfast love and faithfulness. And how is that expressed? God's steadfast love and faithfulness is expressed, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. In essence, David is thankful because in the midst of a seemingly turbulent world, God's plan and purpose do not change. God's priority is his word. And we should be thankful that an all-powerful and all-knowing and all-wise God does not change. Right? Often, we want God to change in accordance with our own wisdom and our own knowledge. But God loves us too much to do that. God loves us too much to give us the things that we want. God loves us enough to always give us what is best. Because he is perfect. And even though everything else passes, the Bible says that his word remains. His promises are sure. God does not change, and he will not change. And he not only has perfect integrity, he also has the power to carry out his promises, doesn't he? Boy, praise God for that. Like I mentioned before, he could be the most well-meaning God in the world and then say to us, oh, I wanted that to happen so bad, but it just couldn't, and I tried. That's not our God. Heaven forbid, God forbid, we believe in a God like that. I mean, I heard a story one time of in a charismatic church where a man came up and they were prophesying over him. And they were saying all of these amazing things about him and how he was going to be a prophet to the nations and he was going to do all of these great things. And they were putting their hands up in the air and the Lord, the Holy Spirit, supposedly was giving them all of these prophecies about this person in the front, and all of these things were happening, and these prophecies were happening, and this guy was going to be this great and powerful man for the Lord, and all of these, and everyone was excited, and they couldn't believe that the Lord would allow this person to see all of these things, and as soon as the prophecies were done, he dropped dead of a heart attack. And so the church there was stunned. And so they asked the Lord made all of these prophecies about this man. All of these amazing things he was going to do. God had said it. You told us that God had given you these prophecies. What happened? And they said, well, you know, all of those things that we said about this man were true. And Satan knew that, so he killed him. And many members left that church. And the reason they left is because we want to find a church that submits to the sovereignty of God and not the sovereignty of Satan. God is sovereign, and his purposes will stand. And you can trust the promises of his word. And let me tell you something, people. When you capture that, you will be thankful in all circumstances. But it's hard work. And it takes effort. That's why you read through the Psalms and David's got to preach to himself sometimes. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Sometimes you got to preach to yourself and you got to remind yourself of what you know to be true so that you will be back to where you need to be thankful. Because God's promises are sure. When God says, since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. Guess what? It's true. You can count on that. When God says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that is a promise of God you can hang your hat on. And that gives us hope, and it gives us comfort, and it gives us assurance. Those are more than pleasant thoughts, more than sentiment. Those are fixed promises. And David understands that it's based on God's integrity to his word. He's also thankful because he knows the future of this world. Do you know the future of this world? Have you thought about that? And I don't just mean what you're going to eat for lunch. I mean, what's going to happen when all of this is gone? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the future. Every soul born into this world will confess Christ as Lord. And a basic summary of evangelism is this. You want to help people do that now before later, right? Before they die and are judged by him and are condemned by him to hell for all eternity. You want to say, no, 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 confess Christ as Lord now. He knows that. There's a day coming. And we look around and this world is blaspheming God and this world is in a mess. And you watch Fox News, even though I make fun of it all the time, and CNN and all of these different things, and things are happening and people are crazy. And what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Sin rules this world. Satan rules this world. But there will come a time that every knee will bow. The nations will bow down to God. That's a fixed promise to be thankful for. And to have his word and to know the truth and to be here in a church where I can preach God's word without fear of persecution. Where you can go home and you can sit down and you can open your Bible and get to know your God. What a blessing. He's also thankful for the comfort and security he has in God. That's why he says, in spite of his circumstances, God will preserve my life. How does he know that? Because God has promised to preserve his life. And God's promise to preserve our lives is the same promise that he makes for us in Christ. God says that to us. God will preserve your life. You win. Jesus said, in this world you will have what? Trouble. Right? But take heart. Why? I've overcome the world. See? That's it. And you cling to that promise in the midst of trouble. Finally, he's thankful because he knows that God's good purposes for his life will prevail. This is important. And I think this is key. And honestly, this is where a lot of us get tripped up. God's purpose for our life will prevail. And God's purpose for us is that we would be conformed into the image of his Son. That's what Romans 8:28 teaches us. God causes all things to work together for good, right? To those that are called according to his purpose, to those that love God, that they may be conformed to the image of his Son. That's God's desire for us. And you know what that means? It means comfort wealth, the blessings of this world. It means pretty much anything that you can think of that you desire right now. That might not be what God has in store for you. So can you be thankful, as David was, that rich or poor, healthy, sick, comfortable, suffering? Maybe you've got a great relationship with your kids and your spouse. Maybe you've got a strained relationship with your kids and your spouse. Maybe you've got circumstances and situations at work that are just overwhelming you and struggle, and you're struggling through it and you just need deliverance. And by all means, pray for deliverance. Continue to cry out to God, but be thankful and trust in God's good and sovereign purpose for you. Instead of asking yourself, when are you going to stop this, God? Ask yourself this: how can I be faithful in the midst of this to you? And what is it that you want me to do? He is good. God will fulfill His purpose for you. Sometimes we want to see that turned around, don't we? His purpose is much better. His purpose can be trusted. And wherever it leads is good. As Charles Spurgeon said, if you cannot see His hand, you can surely trust His heart. That's why the key to really being thankful and increasing our capacity for thankfulness is to get to know your God. Get to know your God. His steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for revealing yourself to us, Lord. And please help us know you more. Help us understand who you are and what you've done. And not just in an academic sense, Lord, but in a real sense where your reality is our reality. And your life is our life, and your love is our love. And may we see it and own it and apply it and understand it. Increase our capacity for thankfulness, Lord. And thank you for this church and for everything that you've done here. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.